Kobo, acting as vice chair. I call this meeting meeting to order at 3:42 p.m. And if we can go through roll call.
Okay, thank you. This meeting is Cody, the Commission on Disability Issues, and as Zach mentioned, that the meeting date is March 15th, 2023. This meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to allow for social distancing and to protect the public health. As we continue in our efforts in meeting remotely, we ask all commissioners and guests to mute themselves until called upon to speak, to avoid feedback and background noises. For those who have dialed in using call-in number, to unmute yourself to speak, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you use only the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you are leaving the meeting so that we can keep track of quorum. Also, in order to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio and not chat function. Thank you. Okay. Sydney Engel? Sydney? Did I lose
her? Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Thank you.
All right. Mia Hansen? Sue Kroger?
Here.
Adiba Nelson? Billy Holbrook?
Here.
Ann Furman. Zach Koble.
Here.
Ray Jordan. Lily Bogman. Bogan.
Here.
We have quorum.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the approval of the January 18th, 2023 meeting minutes and the February 15th, 2023 meeting minutes. I would be looking for a motion from one of the commissioners to approve those minutes.
This is a Commissioner Holbrook. I move we approve the minutes of January and February as written.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Holbrook. I'd be looking for a second now.
I second the motion.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Kroger. Is there any discussion or changes that need to be made from any of the commissioners? Okay, hearing no discussion, all those in favor of approving the minutes from the January 18th, 2023?
I need to have to interrupt and do the roll call first, Zach. I apologize.
Sorry.
That's quite all right. So moving with that, Sydney Engel. For approval of minutes, Sydney. Okay. Sue Kroger? Sue?
My microphone keeps going off. Sorry. Yes, I approve.
Billy Holbrook?
Yes, I approve.
Zach Koble?
Yes, I approve.
Ray Jordan?
Approve the minutes of the February meeting. And although I came to the January meeting, I was not appointed commissioner at that time.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm not sure that I can officially approve.
Yeah, you have the authority to vote on approval of both. Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you.
Lily Bogman, I apologize for that.
That's okay. Yes, I approve.
Okay. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. The next item on our agenda is a call to the audience. This is for any members of the public or members of who are member not members of CODI who may want to speak to any issue. We as commissioners cannot respond to you or really engage in conversation, but this is your opportunity to speak on any issues. So please let Rick or I know if you would like to speak. By unmuting yourself.
I don't see anybody.
Okay. Hearing no audience members with a desire to speak on a particular issue, I will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the bulk of our agenda, the public transportation report. Given that I was brought in to chair the meeting just a few minutes ago, I'm not exactly familiar with who would be giving that presentation. So for the person who is, or people who are doing the report, please let us know and feel free to open it up.
Hey, Zach. I'm Rhett Brownenshield. I'm the transit administrator for the city of Tucson, and I believe the first part of this of our meeting today, in terms of what we're going to be presenting, I'm going to be discussing the comprehensive operational analysis that we're conducting right now. And so I'm going to walk all of you through what we've got in terms of information and what kind of feedback we would love to hear from all of you. So I will do that, and I believe our team from SunTran, which includes Luz Navarrete and Davida Mueller, will present further information in a PowerPoint. So with nothing left, we'll get into this.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so we've got a landing page here, and I'm going to share that with you. I don't know if you can see it, but it's www.tucsoncoa.com, and you're going to land on a page that looks like this. Now, let me know if you can all see this.
Yeah, we can see it.
Okay.
I did.
So this gives you some information how to navigate the site. This will take you into where you can actually comment. So you'll come in here. There will actually be an area to type in your name and your email address, and a place to comment. Because I've already done it, it's not allowing me to do that. But once that's in, you will enter this virtual public meeting. It's going to give you a landing page, but we'll go into the project. The project itself, as you can see, the COA evaluates all aspects of our existing transit services, access, and equity to develop opportunities and recommendations for improving the value, efficiency, and performance of our current transit system. So as you can see, we've got a service area map that shows who provides what in what areas. So for instance, the green line would be the Sun Shuttle, okay, and that mostly operates outside of the city of Tucson's actual borders. You've got Sunlink, which is in this sort of purple color, and that's obviously between downtown and the west side and the U of A. And then we've got our express services, and then we have our local services. So that piece, you can actually expand on that when you click on that, to look at where our service area is and what the map is. The process itself, the Sun System's comprehensive operational analysis review and evaluate SunTran, SunLink, SunExpress, and SunShuttle services to determine potential improvements with the goal of creating a more equitable, effective, and efficient transit network. So We're still in the process of data collection. It says we are here. We are reviewing existing conditions, but we are still taking comments on the existing service. I believe we will finish that up in the next few weeks, at which time we will prioritize and develop the guiding principles of what we see in terms of the data collection. We'll develop draft service recommendations, and then in the end, we're going to finalize our service recommendations as well as an implementation schedule and what we'll be doing. So we support nearly 60,000 rides a day within Tucson and the greater Tucson area. And you can kind of see what each piece here is. Got, again, SunTrans, SunLink, SunExpress, SunShuttle, and SunShuttle Dial-A-Ride. The goals of the COA, again, are to identify opportunities to improve the efficiency, effectiveness, and equity of this current system, and to enhance the system so that we better support the needs of the community. We'll propose recommendations for future service changes or expansion. Some of the things we're discussing involve both frequency, ridership of specific routes, changing the routes potentially. We've gotten a lot of feedback regarding the interest in having more rides. So when I say more rides, I'm talking about frequency. If people know that they're going to miss, if they miss a bus, they know in 15 minutes there'll be another bus taking them down the road, and they're interested in those kinds of things. The one thing is, you know, a lot of the feedback we've gotten, it's consensus, and sometimes people are asking for different things. So there's a lot of data for us to compile and put together. So we will evaluate all of this and come back, and obviously we're working closely with the community. So some of the considerations, the majority of our riders who use transit services to and from work, 27.7% of weekday riders viewed more weekend service as the most important transit service enhancement. 32.6% of weekend riders also viewed more weekend service as the most important transit service enhancement. I think, as some of you know, SunTrans service is reduced by nearly half on weekends. So a Saturday schedule will be 54% of weekday service. A Sunday schedule will be 43% of weekday service. On weekdays, 29 routes operate every 30 minutes or less, but on Saturdays, only 10 routes operate 30 minutes or less. SunShuttle routes 412, 413, and 440 operate Saturdays, but not Sundays. SunShuttle routes 401, 421, 430, and 450 do not operate on the weekends. Why is this important? As a part of the study, we are analyzing existing transit services use and access. Understanding how riders are using transit is critical. This knowledge helps us better evaluate potential gaps in destinations, routes, speed, or hours of operations to help increase access to transit and to create a more equitable transit experience. Some of the considerations for non-rider perceptions. Nearly 65% of Tucson residents believe public transportation is very important, but have not used public transit in the last year. To that particular point, I want to understand why they're not using the system, and if there's things that we can do on our end to get more people into public transportation, specifically transit. These are the kinds of things we want to understand and to potentially implement in order to get more people into our buses. 50% of non-riders say transit does not take them where they need to go. 23% of non-riders are either not sure or do not know if SunTrans services are available near the neighborhood. Again, some of the feedback we get, and I mentioned earlier, some people are afraid of getting on a bus because they don't know where it's going to take them, and they may not understand how to read our route maps. So these are the kinds of things we want to eliminate as a barrier to ridership. Going back to some of the other perceptions, 80% believe it is very important that public transit serves low-income, disabled students or senior populations who have limited transportation options. Some of the top motivators that would encourage non-riders to take public transit are, if travel time was the same or less than traveling by vehicle, that was 44%. If buses were scheduled at stops more frequently, That was 38%. If transit stops were located closer to their home, work, and or places they visit most frequently, that's 30%. And again, as you can see from the service map, and probably from your own understanding of Tucson, you have a really large area from a square mileage standpoint to serve. And so that creates challenges for us in designing the routes and where we go. Why is this important? Our non-rider community provided critical information of the project by highlighting perceived transit service access, reliability, availability, and efficiencies. This information highlights critical areas of consideration and help us achieve more efficient, accessible, and equitable transit services and potentially increase overall ridership. There's a number of items that are related to this, especially as relate to our efforts to decarbonize and to help mitigate air pollution, and that is getting more people into transit and out of their cars. Those are the kinds of things we think about. And again, what are we evaluating? We're evaluating every piece of our service map. You can see our stops in this map, particularly. And so, share your thoughts. We want to hear from you. You can add a comment to our map, or you can take our survey, or you can attend our upcoming events. And these are in the past, but as we continue to get outreach, we will update this specific website. And again, back to this flowchart. We are right now in reviewing the conditions and the services and the feedback. Sorry. And with that, do we have any questions?
This is Commissioner Coble. I have a couple of questions, and I see a couple of hands up, virtual hands up. First, I was wondering if there was any specific questions in the survey tool related to Sun Shuttle. Most of the like data you referenced seem to be more based on I know the Sun Shuttle is based on the routes that are available, but on the fixed route and the availability of the buses. But since Sun Shuttle works somewhat differently, I wasn't sure if there was more specific data to Sun Shuttle included in the survey tool.
No, that's a great question, Zach. Again, if there's something specific to Sun Shuttle, that form, again, which I couldn't show you because I've already submitted it and it won't allow me to submit it again, you can put that into the comment and we will take it and we will answer that specific question, especially as it relates to Sun Shuttle. Sun Shuttle is operated, as you're probably aware, by RTA specifically. And so it is a little bit different. And again, it's outside of the city limits. But if there's something specifically that you have a question about, feel free to fill out that comment card and we will answer it.
Okay.
Thank you. Millie, you had a question.
Yes.
I just wanted to know if the if you wanted to have some input, what's the deadline for allowing the input?
We would like to get that wrapped up by the end of the month. So if you can get your comments in before then, we should be good there. And I'll work with our team in making sure that we address those questions and take into consideration your input.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Ray.
Thank you very much. I completed that survey a month ago, maybe a bit longer, and my recollection is that the questions were somewhat leading the person's connect form to talk about routes and frequency, and not a great deal else. I do have some other things to say, but So now I'm trying to get back in. I've got that up on my screen here. I signed up for to attend my virtual public meetings, but didn't actually get to be able to do that. Now, when I pull up the website, that's what it's doing. It's giving me the entry to that virtual public meeting that I signed up for, and I cannot do anything else. So like you, I cannot revisit that survey to provide some more feedback. I wonder whether there's something you can do with your RSC people to allow people to go back into that survey if they've had some further thoughts.
Thank you. Let me just around here real quick. So let me ask you this, Ray. When you go down to, on the left-hand side, there's some radio buttons, and I'll share my screen again. Just give me 2 seconds. Okay, you can all see my screen again, hopefully. On the left-hand side, so it starts at comment. To your point, you're locked out of it now because they're only going to let people comment once. If you scroll down to share your thoughts, I don't know if you had a chance. Did you hit that take our survey button?
I just pulled up the website a few minutes ago and gave the URL. And in front, I've got that page that you are showing. I have that sitting behind like a separate window that's asking me to sign in to the virtual public meeting. I cannot make that sub-window go away. I can't move it, I can't minimize it, I can't do anything, so I cannot interact. That was me. I just clicked on something other than that sub-window and suddenly it moved over the front. I can now, I guess, share my thoughts. Okay, I've got that now.
Okay. And then it asks you about which routes you ride most frequently, and so there's some information feedback we can take here. And there's a number of questions that it's going to ask you. Can you all see that? Okay. Does that answer your question, Ray?
Oh, I'm just trying to go back to the survey. Oh, okay. It is allowing me to do the survey all over again. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You bet. You got it. Okay, it looks like Lily Hogan. Hi, Lily. You're muted.
Yes.
I wonder if we can unmute her. Let's see.
Sorry about that. I was stuck in mute. Thank you for being here. You did talk a lot about the bus routes and how you're getting feedback from the bus routes. Have you gotten much feedback on Sunvan and Dollar Ride from the disability community?
We have not. We didn't include that specifically in this COA. And so typically we'll get feedback in different ways, but we did not include it specifically to this particular comprehensive operational analysis. And it's not because we're trying to be insensitive. We're just generally speaking, and Steve can speak to this as well, the normal COAs, we separate them. It's not because we're forgetting about Sunvan and Essential Dial-A-Ride. It's just the normal way we do things. We have had some internal discussions about adding it, but it's as of right now, it's not specifically included in this particular COA.
Sorry, Lily. Did you have another question? I didn't want to not interrupt you.
Okay, Zach, you can follow up.
Is that like an internal operational consideration, or is that due to any sort of like city or other governmental policy? Since I mean, like a sun van, you know, should be, like, from my point of view, it should be seen as an integrated part of our transit system.
It is. It was, you know, I think we do these, we like to do a COA every basically 7 years, and I don't think we've done one in 10. And I wasn't here for the last one, but from my own experience, we haven't, they haven't been integrated. And again, it's not because of us sliding or not, you know, equity is a big thing to us. Steve, did you have more to follow up with?
Yeah, if I unmuted myself right. Typically, operational analyses will focus on a fixed route system, and then you'll do a separate analysis on the paratransit system. Sometimes that's changed a little bit because of the development of micro transit and, you know, the on-demand types of service. But typically, we're looking in the COA at the fixed route system, and then you come back separately with another study, and it's a whole nother discipline of staff and procedures that the people will follow. So we should follow up when this is done and take a look at paratransit.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm open to other commissioners having questions, but if I had one follow-up question, if no one else did, and then we can move on to Steve or Davida or Luz. So once the COA on the fixed route transit system is completed, what would be the timeline to getting a COA on paratransit service, or, you know, like, is that years down the line?
I think you can probably complete that within the next 12 to 24 months. We've got a number of obviously heavy lifts right now that we're in the middle of. So once we get this put away, we'll have additional time to focus on Sunvan and for Central Dollar Ride. We won't forget, I promise you.
Okay. I'll hold you to that. Or the commission will. Do any other commissioners have questions for Rhett on this specific topic? Rhett, you mentioned that Luz and Davida would be also presenting on different aspects of the transit system.
Correct, Zach. I'm going to turn it over to Luz right now, and I'm going to take myself off camera. Thank you all for your time today.
Thank you, Rhett.
All right. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us here. It's been a while since we've been at these meetings, so we're excited to be back. So like you said, my name is Luz Navarrete. I am the outreach manager for all of our services. And today we're going to be doing just a little public transportation update for you all. So we'll go ahead and just get started. All right, so first off, we want to just go over our quantum wheelchair securement. So I know I presented this before here, and we watched kind of the videos on it, and I just wanted to report back and let everybody know that, you know, all of our operators have been properly trained on the quantum automatic wheelchair securement station. They know to make sure that, or they know to ensure that everybody is properly secured, even though it is an automatic wheelchair securement station. And they also know that it's important for our riders to have a choice. And there are those riders who do not want to be rear facing. So the drivers know that they have to allow the rider to have a choice. And if they don't want to go into that automatic wheelchair securement station, then they will come out and do the manual tie down stations that we do still have on those buses. We have about a third of our fleet is now with those quantum wheelchair securement stations. 65 of the buses in service have them now. And then online, we also have our how-to videos. I believe I showed these here many months ago when we first made them, and they are still available on our YouTube channel. So that's just at Suntran Tucson on YouTube. All right. So then we're going to move on to our survey findings for Sunvan. So in November of 2022, we held several public input meetings for Sunvan. We had two of them that were virtual. And in those meetings, we also provided a survey. We were really hoping to get a lot of customer feedback from these surveys. So I just want to go over some just key demographics that we got from those survey findings. As you see here on the screen, 50% of the survey takers indicated they had a mobility device, 26 indicated they traveled with a companion, and 31% said they would ride less if fares were reinstated. So as many of you know, our fares have been free since March of 2020. So that was an interesting look there. And right now, about 28% of riders ride 1 to 3 times a week. We also wanted to know, how satisfied our clients were. And here, these first three all kind of align. So it's makes sense to me that all the numbers are pretty even, right? So we want to talk about on-time pickup. Only 41% were satisfied with on-time pickup. Again, 41% was satisfied with the on-time drop-off, and 42% was satisfied with the length of the trip on the actual vehicle. And again, those are kind of our lowest numbers right there, and they all correlate together. 64 were satisfied with the driver habits, 54 were satisfied with customer service, 60% satisfied with how our drivers assist clients, 71% feel safety on board, and 65% are satisfied with the cleanliness of the vans. All right, so these are the service metrics for Sunvan. So here the first one is showing what our current ridership levels are compared to pre-COVID. So we are still down at 14%. However, if we're looking at fiscal year 23 to fiscal year 22, we are up 13%. And if we're just looking at January 23 to January 22, we are increasing to 21%. And of course, with ridership increase comes miles increase, right? And that's an increase of 19%. And our on-time performance, it's at 86%. So we're taking some measures to try to, meet the increased demand for the rides. We're doing that by hiring new operators. We're doing job fairs and online postings, and we are hiring all the time. So we're holding training classes on a continued basis. We're just trying to get more people properly trained and driving. And we're also really trying to look at how to adjust the operator shifts to provide extra staff throughout the day, especially during those high peak hours of operations. All right. So next, we wanted to talk about the Sunvan app. And I know we've spoken about this with you all before, but just as a refresher, we had the Sunvan app come out in 2022. And this gives clients an alternative on how to book their rides. So right now, currently, it is free to download on Apple and Android devices. And you can also access it on your regular desktop computer. Riders can book trips, they can check their account information, and they can receive notifications through there. It does accommodate screen reader technology to pull text and detect icons and other information. And this allows Sunvan clients to make ride reservations outside of normal call center hours. And of course, clients are still able to schedule their trips with a reservationist. And if anybody needs help creating that Sunvan app, they can call the reservationist as well, and they can be walked through on how to create their profile on the Sunvan app. And of course, we do have tutorials for that. You can find that at suntran.com, or if you just go straight to our YouTube page, we have a whole series on tutorials on how to use the app. Sun on Demand, we've talked about this before as well. So Sun on Demand is a microtransit service offering door-to-door rides. Right now we have two service zones in Tucson. And this kind of acts like Sunvan, right, where they get door-to-door rides, but nobody has to qualify for it, and it is only in two certain areas. So riders can book a ride anywhere within that zone, and Sun on Demand vehicles are accessible to all riders. Sun on Demand riders can make the reservations 1 to 7 days in advance, just like Sunvan, and when possible on the same day. again, like Sunven, you can call and make the reservations through the reservation office, and we also have an app for Sunven as well, or Sun On Demand, I apologize. All right, innovation. So we have some things coming. We're still in the research phase for a lot of this, but we are looking at a new on-demand zone that would be on the east side. We're also looking at multimodal apps. So this is kind of a thing where we could have different alternatives to Sunven. So say that you were looking for a ride and you needed it right away, and Sunven wouldn't get you there on time, or Sun On Demand wouldn't get you there on time, or the bus wasn't working for you. This also pushes out to like Uber and Lyft and different share rides, so you can have those options, and maybe you'd be willing to go on one of those instead if it met your needs better. And online eligibility application. So this has been something we've been asked about a lot before, and basically right now the only way to put your application is by either going down to the eligibility office or calling them and starting that process. So we are looking at a way to be more accessible and to be able to be online and have that option for you all as well. And then, of course, we're always looking at improved ways for accessibility. I hope you guys liked my presentation here today. I took a lot of time going through and making sure that, you know, fonts were larger, that we were not using too many color contrasts. We did take kind of some help from Direct Advocacy Resource Center to look at the way that we're presenting material. Also, in our virtual meetings, we've been having ASL interpreters join as well. So we've been really trying to put in the extra effort to make sure that all of our communications is really accessible for everyone. So that's all from me. I'll go ahead and stop talking so that people can start asking questions, and I do have a whole team of people here to help answer questions. All right. Let me go ahead. Oh, who had their hand up first? Is that Billy? Go ahead, Billy.
So this is really cool about the multimodal happening with perhaps having an Uber. That's great. And then I just have a question. Would you be able to know ahead of time whether your route has the quantum secure system in it?
You won't, no. So our buses are assigned daily. They don't get assigned to a route. So every day you could have a different bus on your route. So right now only a third of our buses have it, and there's really no way of us being able to tell people which has it ahead of time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lily?
Yes. Your option of using Uber, is that something that riders can currently start using, or is it in the future?
It's in the future. We're looking at just, we're in the research phase right now, so we're looking at different apps that are able to combine all of those options together for us right now, but we don't have that available at this moment. Zach?
Yes, a couple questions. So with Sun On The Go, like now with the two zones, how much, like, so this is like a two-parter. So with the two zones, how much of the like city transit area is covered in those two zones? And if you added a third, then how much would be covered in addition?
So not a lot, right? The reason we keep the area smaller, I believe it's just about like a, I want to say it's like a 3-mile radius in those areas. And the reason we keep them so small is that so they can be on demand, and we're not like transporting people from one end to the other. And that's why they're called microtransit, because you're just kind of getting people in and out quickly in those areas. And they started as a pilot project, and that's why we're learning and adjusting, and we're hoping to get a third one going on the east side. Did that answer both questions, Zach?
Yes. And okay. Then I have just one quick other one related to your answer with Uber. So if people were using like a multimodal system, would they then be subject to Uber or other ride carriers pricing, or would they be with, like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, they would have to pay for that service. Correct. Okay. All right, Ray? Oh, sorry. You know what? Steve's hand is up. Let me have my general manager here speak in. He might have something else to say to us. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, Luz. Hey, this is Steve Spade. I'm general manager at SunTran. The question on the fare structure, there are a couple different ways to do that. If we're providing the service as a value added to our SunVan customers, then the way it's structured in a lot of places is that your normal pricing would apply to, say, SunVan. And then if you moved over and you found that coming on the app, registering, or getting on as one of our SunVan customers, and then you got pushed to an app, part of the cost could very well be subsidized by us at SunVan, and then part of the cost would be on the consumer. So let me give you an example of what they did in Phoenix with a similar service to this. You could push out to somebody that would provide same-day trips, because paratransit doesn't provide same-day trips. So you could go on the app, go out to a same-day trip, and the way the fare applies is that the transit system would pay the first $3 of the ride, which is they're the equivalent of their paratransit. You would pay, the passenger pays the first $3 of the paratransit ride, which is the equivalent of the fare. Then the system would subsidize from there up to a distance of 8 miles. After you've traveled 8 miles, which somehow is the number they determined, then the remainder of the fare is on the customer. So what it does is says, you know, we'll provide you the same day service within this geographic area. If you want to go farther on your own, then it would be it would be your responsibility. So there's a lot of different ways to structure that, but the idea is that the SunVan is focused on providing paratransit service that meets ADA eligibility requirements, and we want to make sure that our focus is there. When you start looking at needs beyond that, say, same-day trips is a really good example, that can really have a negative impact on our ability to provide quality service to those customers that are reserved trips. So you give people that want to travel the option to move for the same-day trip to another carrier. It could be getting on the on-demand service if you got a short trip within the zone, or it could be looking at an Uber or a Lyft or somebody like that that could provide you with the same trip on the same day. But it allows an option so that you can get service, and then we don't have a negative impact on the service quality of SunVan. And at the same time, increase your freedom to move around.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. Ray, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm wondering whether you've received the list of 8 questions that was provided prior to the meeting. The regular chair, Mia Hansen, forwarded those questions to a group of people. So I wonder if you have those, I wonder if you could run through them and make some comments on them. Would you prefer me to read them out,
because
I haven't
read them last time? Yeah, so I answered, I think, most of them in the presentation. Was there something that you didn't see, or do you have a particular question?
Yeah, so if I start with on the work one, I was interested in whether you've got some feedback from customers on using the quantum refacing.
Yeah.
Which I don't recall.
Sure. So,
feedback from bus operators on the same subject.
Yeah. So in that first slide, I showed the quantum, and we were kind of talking about how the biggest negative feedback we get from clients is the rear facing, and that's why we made sure to train our operators to know that they have the option. So anybody that's in a mobility device has the option to go in the manual tie down if they don't want to be rear-facing in that. So that was basically the biggest feedback we've gotten from riders that have ridden the Quantum. Other than that, everything's been positive, and of course our drivers think it's positive. It's easier for them to use it.
Have you got any idea of the number of people who choose to use the Quantum rather than the traditional full facing positions?
We have not asked anyone to keep track of that yet, no. Oh. Yeah, it hasn't been a big issue that's been brought to our face too much, so we haven't really seen a need to start tracking that down.
Cool. I can skip number four because I know definitely you answered that one. Question five is not necessarily about the Quantum, but this one's about your policies and procedures that exist for drivers to deal with unruly or uncooperative passengers, and how that relates to somebody who is in a mobility device that doesn't have freedom of movement and something else. We
don't want to
use the Quantum or the other type of system.
Is that what you said? Sorry, I'm sure there is. I was trying to see who I have in this meeting to call on. Steve, do you know the exact procedure for that? Can you speak to that, Steve?
I don't know if I can. If you could just kind of rephrase the question.
He was asking what the procedure is for unruly clients on the buses.
If somebody's acting out, our goal is to have the operator engage them and ask them to, you know, stop whatever they're doing that's inappropriate. We don't expect them to play police. We then have supervisors and security that they can reach out to via the radio. So they would get on the radio and, you know, tell the dispatcher, I've got XYZ going on the bus, I need some assistance. And one of our supervisory staff or security who are either stationed at transit centers or they're roving in a car, would provide assistance. And, you know, hopefully we get there using proper de-escalation techniques. We can get somebody to calm down. If not, then we would ask them to leave. So.
That's right. I've just noticed some variations on any bus drivers dealing with incidents. But pleasantly and happily, I can report that when a bus driver does choose to take some action, there is normally a bunch of other passengers ready to back them up. So, just to report that.
Yeah, you know, our goal is to give our operators the proper de-escalation training and skills. They don't need backup, that they're skilled enough to handle these situations alone. But I know we certainly appreciate the support when they're out there, though.
Good. Thank you. Just a couple more. The service animals, I've some customers, bus drivers seem to have their procedures sorted out, but some customers seem to think that if their dog is a service animal. So I'm just wondering, is there, when a bus driver is confronted with a situation where there's a little bit of uncertainty, they have a set of rules to operate by?
Yeah, so they, this is kind of our definition of the service animal. We have it on our website under, bus basics and rider rules. So it's the service animals are listed here, right? So, except for service animals, pets must be enclosed and in animal carriers, like small cages or cardboard boxes. And then service animals are not allowed on seats and should not lie or sit in the aisles. So basically, pets are allowed on the bus as long as they are contained while they're on the bus and they're not causing issue.
Right, yeah. And is it a limit to multiple animals? I have seen that scenario where somebody attempted to pull the bus with, I think, three animals and claiming that they were also service animals. The bus driver
Yeah, so if the animals are not allowed on seats, service animals are not allowed on seats, non-service animals are not allowed on seats, so if that is an issue, I believe the driver would ask them to better control their animals or bring that up, so.
Slightly different subject here, the advertising wraps on buses. So this is the second last of my questions. Particularly where they cover the windows, thereby reducing the visibility of a passenger by, in my estimation, about 50% looking outside the bus. I was just on a bus, I guess that was a matter of fact, about several buses yesterday. And noting that it's very, very difficult to read street signs and other kinds of visual cues, even for a person like me who's got fairly good vision. So it must be pretty horrible for someone who's of low vision.
Yeah, definitely. So we know that is that has been brought up, and we are working with our partners who do the bus wraps to kind of see how we can better help that situation. Because again, all of our buses get advertisement on them, so we have to kind of see which parameters we need to give them to properly do that, so we aren't inflicting with people's visibility on the buses.
Okay. So you're looking at that at the moment. Is there
it's a discussion. I don't have any follow up to you, but I know that they are speaking to it, so it's in discussion.
Okay. So we can come back to that at somewhere in time.
Sure, yeah, I'll give you guys an update.
Fantastic, thank you. And final volume level on the internal audio system. So somebody with vision impairment, for example, depends very much on the audio, which announces major stops, etc. Can you just answer that question? How is the volume control? Is that under the bus operator's purview, or is it per se?
So the volume control on the annunciator messages, they need to be louder? That's what we're asking, yeah?
Well,
go ahead, Steve.
In some cases, they are at a volume level of 11, and other cases, a volume level of 9. So, in some buses, they are really, really loud, and in other buses, they are so quiet you can hear them. So,
all right,
Steve's
going to answer for us.
The annunciator volumes are preset automatically. If there's an issue with a particular bus being too loud, if you can call it in, then we can check that bus to see if something's happened to the annunciator to make it overly loud. But those are all preset by our maintenance department at the same level, so they should all be about the same.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm being critical because I know firsthand for a fact that the volume levels are all over the place.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand your question. Are you suggesting they're too loud? Is that?
I'm suggesting that some are too loud and some are too quiet.
Okay.
From a regular bus driver's point of view, who rides on lots of different buses, there does not seem to be much in the way of consistency.
Probably the best, if you notice one that's one way or the other, if you call our customer service department or shoot us a quick email, it's probably easier for us to check those on an individual basis. And we're happy to do that. We can follow up on that for you.
Thank you so much. I know there's I know has had her virtual hand up for a question.
Yes.
Time. I want to respect that question and then maybe move on with our agenda as we have at least one more substantial agenda item. And I know our transit friends have been talking for quite a while, so I want to respect their time as well. So, Lily.
Thank you.
Good question.
Yeah. Thank you again for being here. My question is a two-part question, but I promise it's short. I was a longtime resident of the Phoenix area before I came to Tucson, and I am a paratransit user, and I did use the same day service as well. My first part of the question is, they used a third party to manage those rides, meaning payments and booking of the rides. Is that something you're looking into?
Yeah, so we're just getting into the process of looking into that, and typically you could use an app or you can use a third party to distribute those trips to multiple third-party providers. So yes, that's a very real possibility for us.
My second part of the question is, you may or may not know the answer to this, but do you know if the outskirts of Tucson Sun Shuttle Dial-A-Ride is looking into that option as well?
I think they'd probably be interested in looking at it as we do the research. I'm sure we'll reach out and see if they'd like to be involved. And then the level of their involvement probably is up to to them and whether or not they're interested. I do think, our philosophy has always been that transportation needs transcend geographic boundaries. People need to move throughout the community regardless of what the city limits look like. And so we hope that as we're planning our services, they're regional and cooperative in nature.
Thank you. I agree.
Thank you so much, Brett, Steve, Luce. Appreciate it. Or the commissioner. Yeah. So now we will move on to our final substantial agenda item, the annual report for 2022 review that was sent out along the other attachments to this meeting. What we would need to do is seek approval from the commission to submit that report to mayor and council. So I would first be looking for a motion to approve the annual report as written.
This is Commissioner Holbrook, and it's beautifully written. I want to say I approve of everything that's in it, and I would vote that we approve as a group the annual report that's written. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. I would be looking for a second. Bury that motion.
Commissioner Bogan, I'll second.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Bogan. Is there any discussion of the contents of the report or changes that people would like to discuss within that report or additions? Okay. Hearing no comments, Rick, could you start like a roll call vote?
Yes. And I'll start with Sydney Engel. Sydney?
Yes.
Okay. Sue Kroger?
Yes.
Billy Holbrook?
Yes.
Zach Coble?
Yes.
Ray Jordan?
Yes.
Lily Wilberman?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Great. Thank you. The final item on our agenda before adjournment is a upcoming events. So this is the portion of the meeting where if there are any upcoming events related that in the community that commissioners want to speak to or promote, you know, please raise your hand or comment and provide info.
Yes, this is Lily.
Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead, Lily, sorry.
I just want to invite everyone to V-Ray, it's the Vision Rehabilitation Assistive Technology Expo at Glendale Civic Center. We do host the entire Southwest for the blind, visually impaired, and deafblind community. We are in our 27th year. And it is a expo. We have 44 exhibition tables and 24 hours of presentations, and it's free to the public. So that's my announcement, March 31st from 7:30 a.m. to 5:15 p.m.
Great. Thank you, Lily, or Commissioner Brogan. Any other commissioners have events? Okay. Hearing none, I believe I need a motion to adjourn, correct?
Usually you do not.
I'll motion to adjourn.
Go ahead, you can.
I'll motion to adjourn.
I guess since the motion's on the floor, I probably need a second.
This is Holbrook, I second.
And do we need a vote on that?
No.
Okay. Then at 4:43, we are adjourned, folks. Thank you very much for meeting and bearing with my facilitation. Take care.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.